Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 30. Ultimately, what is it that God wants? He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to obey Him. And He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants it to go well with us. And He wants us to see that when we honor Him and have faith in Him and trust Him and obey Him, that that is the way to blessing and a close relationship with Him. What does he not want? He wants us not to trust in ourselves, not to turn away from Him, not to be disobedient. And that's what he's dealing with here, God and Isaiah, and dealing with Israel and Judah as it relates to the Assyrian army coming in. And the Assyrian army is coming in because they've been disobedient to God. They have not honored God. And right now, Judah appears as trying to form an alliance with Egypt, not consulting God and saying, hey, we need to build an alliance so that we have someone strong to partner with us in military against Assyria. And he's saying, you know what? What you really need to do is honor me, obey me, follow me, draw near to me. And I want to protect you. I want to be with you. And ultimately, God is going to wipe out or at least defeat the Assyrian army in a beautiful and mysterious way as they're outside of Jerusalem ready to take it. But God's going to bless Judah and not allow Assyria to come in. So let's see what Isaiah and God have to say to Israel. When I say Israel, sometimes, it's hard to say that because what I really mean most of the time in this particular book is Judah, because remember, Israel and Judah are divided. But nonetheless, woe to the rebellious children, declares Yahweh, who execute counsel but not mine. So they're listening to elders or whomever who are saying, let's partner with Egypt, but that's not from God, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit. In order to add sin to sin, who go down to Egypt but did not ask me, to find strength in the strong defense of Pharaoh and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. What an important thing it is to consult with God, to ask Him. And it's so important. I was doing that this morning too, is like, Lord, be with me. Lord, give me clarity. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to see what I need to see. Help me to know, God, what you have for me to do. And oh, God, help us. Help anyone listening. May we make a strong effort to seek God and His will and to get direction from Him. Therefore, the strong defense of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the refuge in the shadow of Egypt your dishonor. For their princes are at Zoan, and their messengers reach Hanas. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not of help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. He's like, this idea of going and partnering with Egypt is not for me, and it really is going to ultimately show how wrong you were, and you're going to be ashamed of that you didn't trust in me, and you guys didn't just have the nation, repent and turn back to me. The oracle concerning the beasts of Negev, though a land of through a land of distress and anguish, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying fiery serpent, they carry their wealth on the backs of young donkeys, and their treasures on camel humps. To a people who cannot profit them, even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty. Therefore, I call her Rahab, who has ceased. And apparently, that means strength, but strength who has ceased. Now go write it on a tablet before them and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may be in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who are not willing to listen to the law of Yahweh. And it seems like now he's saying, well, because of your partnership, this is what I want to be written of you, that you guys were not willing to follow me. You were rebellious. Who say to the seers, you must not see. And to those who have visions, you must not behold visions. So, they're criticizing Isaiah for the fact that he's bringing this message. And they're saying, we don't want to listen to you. Come up with a different message. You must not behold visions for us of what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Isn't that something? Speak to us something pleasant instead of something that's true. Behold, visions of illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cease speaking before us about the Holy One of Israel. Don't even talk to us about God. So this is where they're at, and this is why they're being punished. They don't want to hear from God. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and deviousness and have relied on them, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, whose breaking is like the breaking of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a potsherd will not be found among its pieces to take fire from a hearth, or to scoop water from a cistern. For thus says Lord Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, has said. Now listen, this is what he really wanted. In repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your might. But you were not willing, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a standard on a hill. And despite all this, and despite their waywardness and lack of repentance, Isaiah's now is going to turn to, you know what? God's still not going to give up on you. And we see the future restoration, and we begin to see the messianic blessing that is still awaiting us one day. Therefore, Yahweh waits with longing to be gracious to you, and therefore he is on high to have compassion on you. For Yahweh is a God of justice. How blessed are those who wait for him. And that word wait means wait with faith, like wait with expectancy. You know what? If you're no longer waiting, then you've given up on what you were waiting for. But if you're still waiting, you have hope it's going to come. O people in Zion, inhabit it in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. The Lord has given you bread of distress and water of oppression. He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will see your teacher. And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with your silver, and your molten images plated with your gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. What a wonderful thing. You know, what is it that we need to say be gone to? So in this day, they're gonna take their graven images and be gone. Is there anything in your life that you need to say be gone? Just be gone. I don't want it in my way. I don't want it in my life anymore. God doesn't want it in my life anymore. Listen to what it said in verse 21. And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. And now in the spirit, we have that. We have this is the way, walk in it. And we can say to evil and evil things and evil behaviors, be gone. Then he will give you rain for the seed, which will sow in the ground, and bread from the produce of the ground, and it will be rich and fat. On that day, your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Again, this seems to be the millennium. Also, the oxen and the donkeys, which work the ground, will eat salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. And it will be that on every lofty mountain and on every lifted up hill, there will be streams running with water on the day of the great slaughter when the towers fail. And the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days on the day Yahweh binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. Behold, the name of Yahweh comes from afar. Burning is his anger, and heavy is his smoke. His lips are filled with indignation, and his tongue is like a consuming fire. His breath is like an overflowing torrent, which reaches to the neck to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve of worthlessness, and to put in the jaws of the people the bridle which staggers one to ruin. So again, God's bringing judgment, God's bringing justice, then God's bringing his millennial blessing. And listen to what it says. When he comes to destroy enemies and then set up his messianic kingdom. You will have songs as in the night when you set yourself apart as a holy for the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the rock of Israel, which now has been revealed through Jesus. And Yahweh will cause his splendid voice to be heard, and the descending of his arm to be seen in raging anger, and in the flame of a consuming fire, in cloudbursts, downpour, and hailstones. And this seems to be, as you'll see, not only something that's prophesying the destruction of Syria, but also all of God's enemies when Jesus Christ returns. For at the voice of Yahweh, Assyria will be dismayed when he strikes with the rod, and every blow of the appointed staff which Yahweh will cause to rest upon him will be the music of tambourines and lyres. And in battles, having weapons, he will fight them. And really, God does something miraculous to take care of the Assyrians. For Topheth has long been ready. Indeed, it has been prepared for the king, and he has made it deep and large, a pyre of fire and with plenty of wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a torrent of brimstone, sets it afire. So, such a range of emotions, hey, in the book of Isaiah. We have, you guys are partnering with Egypt and you're not repenting. And as a result, it's not going to work out well for you. And yet, God is not done with you. And he's coming back. He's going to destroy the enemies and he's going to bless you. And that's really the story of the book of Isaiah. But now, what are we supposed to heed because of that? Well, Israel and Judah didn't repent and didn't seek God rightly, and they got astray from God. May we hear of what all happened to them and say, you know what? I want to be true to God. I want to follow him. I want to honor him. And yet, we also wait because one day Jesus is coming again. And may we be faithful while we're waiting. And may we have a waiting that's hopeful, that's faithful, because we're expecting him to come again. God bless you all.